Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Luke Hughes Automotive Network. And you know they are St. Louis. Luke Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
It's a Wednesday, and that means it is Wednesdays with Walton. Our chance to visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Still a lot to get into as we wait for baseball and the Players Association to come to an agreement and hopefully have some semblance of baseball in 2020. Brian is always working on TheCardinalNation.com 24/7 and joins us every Wednesday on Scoops with Danny Mac. And Brian, it's always good to visit with you. How are things?
Hey, great, Dan. You know, there's always something to talk about, isn't there? Even though there's no games, there's so much baseball news.
There is. And today, as we talk, we're kind of digesting Major League Baseball's proposal to the Players Association. I've been saying it from day one. It's a round of negotiations. We're in another round. Time is of the essence, but yet going back and forth is part of the negotiation of what we have right now. So as the news came out late yesterday, what was your take on the proposal that was given to the Players Association?
Well, the Players Association said they're disappointed. I mean, the essence of it is that the owners have asked for a sliding scale where the players who are making less money get dinged less further on their pay. But basically, the owners don't want to abide by the earlier agreement that was a straight proration. Basically, now for the high-end guys, they want to cut their salary in half again. So basically, the guys with the biggest salaries would basically make roughly a quarter of what they would have made in a normal year. And of course, the owner's motivation behind that is, hey, our revenues are down. We're worried that if there's a new outbreak of the virus in the fall, that we won't get the playoffs. And if we don't get the playoffs, we're not going to make much money this year. So, I can see it from everybody's side, and it's just unfortunate because the fans are frustrated and they want to see baseball. But it looks like, they're still fairly far apart right now. And, we'll see how the negotiations go. One of the notes I saw said that, there's still some hangups on the health and safety issues as well. And frankly, if I'm the union, I'd rather try to get hung up in that area than get hung up on money, because the blowback is going to make it look like, more people than not will support the owners over the players if the debate's money.
When you see the NHL coming back and the NBA right around the corner, and you hear about the infighting with money in this particular instance between these two entities, boy, it's kind of a black eye in the court of public opinion right now for baseball, isn't it?
It really is. And baseball's got a new contract between the players and owners that take effect after the end of next season. And everybody's trying to, grab the high ground. The players have lost a lot of the prior negotiations in the past. And, they're probably thinking they don't want to lose this time. Major League Baseball has been a very, very lucrative business. And, I would venture a guess to say that a lot of the owners have never lost money in a year. I wish I could say that for my business, but they're in tough ground this year, right? They're not going to make money. The only question is, how much are they going to lose? So, one of the discussions was, hey, the players would like to play more games because that way they would get more prorated salary. But the owners are saying, well, we really don't want to play that many more regular season games because we're losing money every game. What we want to do is get to the playoffs. So, there's all kinds of issues kind of that may be under the covers here that are, going to get in the way of them trying to come to an agreement. And while it'd be nice if they come to an agreement soon and everybody's looking at July 4th, they probably could continue to negotiate for a while longer if they had to, and still we'd get to see some baseball this year.
How concerned would you be in the sport in general if, let's just say, hypothetically, they don't play, NBA, NHL comes back, finishes up a season, and hypothetically, you would not have a meaningful baseball game for 17 or 18 months? Where do you think the sport would be in the American landscape of how we view this game?
Well, I've been around a long time, so I've seen the prior strikes and the labor strife, and it's been now, close to 25 years since their last strike was in baseball, and it went away. And it took a while for it to come back, but it did come back. $70 million for 15 straight years until last year, and Major League Baseball drew 70 million fans. And, yeah, some of those fans are going to stay away. They're going to be upset. The casual fans, it will take them longer to be back. But there's a core of fans that follow baseball, and I still believe, as much as I'd like to see baseball this year, I still believe the game is going to survive. There are people talking about it's going to be the end of the game, and, you know, it's not going to be good. Let's face it. It's not going to be good if there's no baseball. But chances are very good there's going to be baseball in 2021, no matter what. By the way, minor league baseball will be back as well, so there'll be prospects to watch and there'll be other things. So, yeah, it'll hurt the game. It'll set them back. It'll certainly set them back financially. It'll set them back with the fans. But I don't think it's this apocalypse that some people are saying it's going
to
be.
Minor league pay, that is starting to come to the forefront again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Dan. As folks may remember, the agreement that was made back in March gave minor leaguers $400 a week through the end of May. And that was great. You know, it tided everybody over. But we saw on Tuesday, late in the day, the Oakland A's were the first to say, that's it. May 31st is the end of it. You know, we're not going to pay our minor league players anymore. We already know there's probably not going to be a minor league season. And a team can save roughly $1 million by not paying the minor leaguers for the 3 months over the summer. But, you know, we're going to have now a situation where some of these players are going to be, again, struggling, and they're going to need some kind of handout or some kind of help to get through to be ready for next spring.
What happens to these players, Brian? Some of them cannot survive like that. What happens, in your opinion?
Well, there are several organizations that are out there that are trying to help players, and More Than Baseball is one, which is the organization that helped distribute the money that Adam Wainwright and his wife graciously offered for minor leaguers. So basically they're going to need handouts. I don't know what the rules are regarding unemployment. What I've heard is that in most cases, minor leaguers cannot get unemployment because they are under contract. So they're kind of in this weird catch 22 place where they're employed, but they're not employed. So I don't know. It's going to be a tough situation. And, you know, in the background, this whole issue of contraction and the 40 teams going away is kind of, you know, on the back burner, but it's still there percolating, and, you know, minor league teams are struggling as well. So, you know, it's going to be a much different environment next year for minor leagues, for sure.
We know that the draft is only 5 rounds, and then after that, teams can sign players for an upwards of $20,000. We're hearing some organizations with their baseball ops, they're letting go of those guys as we get closer to the draft. I would assume, though, most of the prep work has been done leading into the 2020 draft.
And the Cardinals are one of the organizations that has been good so far, at least, at protecting their baseball ops people. And here, you know, baseball ops, we're talking about not only people who work in the front office, but the player development folks, so the coaches, as well as the scouts. So, you know, they're really the backbone of the organization. And for the 2020 draft, you know, most of the legwork is done. And, you know, the Cardinals have their board. Randy Flores is, you know, he doesn't know who he's going to take because he doesn't know how the 20 picks are going to go before him. But, you know, I think they're pretty well in line. I bet they could draft today if they needed to. And with no games being played, you know, this spring, and they didn't, you know, they didn't have much scout, and there are no minor league games being played. There's not much for scouts to do right now other than continue to watch video on guys for next year. So, you know, there's a little bit of a lull period, but, you know, what organizations don't want to do is they don't want to lose their scouting resource. That's precious resource. There aren't dozens and dozens of them. And, you know, they're very highly skilled people. And so, you know, there could be opportunities for some organizations who are opportunistic, to use a word that we hear fairly often. Some organizations might be opportunistic and, you know, pick up some of this talent if some of the organizations get just a little too cost conscious and lose some of their good people.
And, you know, looking at what could happen with some of these teams when we come back, whether it be baseball ops people, whether it be the minor leagues, or could it be high-priced players on the move? If and when baseball comes back, what do you think happens with dumping some salary if you can find a taker? And will there be takers because of the financial landscape right now being unknown?
Boy, you know, you bring up a great point. All of a sudden, Dan, how about those teams that were taking? They're looking kind of smart, aren't they? You know, they're not on the hook for, you know, I'm talking about the Baltimores of the world, right? They're not on the hook for these huge salaries because they've got their payrolls of 50, 60 million, whatever it is. And, you know, again, you know, they picked up their money through revenue sharing and through MLB Advanced Media, the IT stuff and the non-baseball revenues. So, you know, there's an incentive for more teams potentially to tank. But the question, and you hit on it, is who are the buyers? Which MLB organization right now is going to take on a Nolan Arenado contract or a Chris Bryant contract in the middle of all this other stuff that's going on? I can't see who's going to be the buyers.
I don't see it either. And that's the biggest problem is that teams would say normally, sure, we'd love to do business with your great high-priced players that we could add on our normal payroll. But at this point in time, I just don't see it, Brian. I really don't.
Well, and Arenado's a guy that's been obviously been talked about, and he's got this out, right, in a couple of years. And if they say, well, you know, it wouldn't be a long-term commitment anyway because Arenado's going to opt out of his deal. Well, heck, we don't know what the free agent market's going to look like. But I'll tell you, guys, you know, who are going to be free agents at the end of this year, they got to be really, really nervous because Major League Baseball is likely going to have to pay more in salaries this year to get a deal done with the Players Association than they want to pay.
Cardinals.
They're going to have to give. It's going to hurt them. And where are they going to get that money back? They're going to spend less on free agents this winter, and they're going to squeeze the guys that are arbitration eligible. And that's not a punitive, a negative thing. It's just, you know, they're going to try to save money where they can save money.
Cardinals Hall of Fame is come and gone, at least the announcement of that. 2020 Hall of Fame, Bill White is now selected to the Cardinals Hall of Fame. The fan vote went to John Tudor and Tommy Herr. What did you take away from this year's ballot?
Well, I think it was great that Bill White got in. He was a guy that we discussed for a long time, a great Cardinal first baseman and success as National League president, as an executive, but a guy who doesn't like the limelight. And, you know, part of the question was, you know, does Bill White want to be recognized? And finally it got to the point where, darn it, his numbers are so good, his contribution was so great, he needs to be in this Hall of Fame. And, you know, it was great to see him selected for that. John Tudor, guy who, you know, franchise ERA leader, win percentage over 700, you know, was this, you know, huge, huge factor in 85, continued to pitch well on some bad teams, but wasn't with the team that long. But yet, you know, a guy who's obviously deserving. Tommy Herr, you know, every time we, and I hope I'm not being out of school saying this, but every time, you know, we get together to talk about Hall of Fame, you know, Whitey talked about him being his rock, how he's a clutch player, never made mental mistakes, you know, and you know, he was a guy that his numbers, you know, didn't knock you over, but he was there for three Cardinal championship teams, including World Series. But the disappointing thing is that Keith Hernandez, who's been on the ballot 7 years now and passed over every time, didn't get in. And, you know, everybody understands that he had the drug issue in the trade, and a lot of people who you know, weren't watching baseball in the 70s, you know, think of him as a New York Met and a guy who was on Seinfeld and a guy who's on, you know, doing the Mets broadcast. But he was a great Cardinal for 10 years. And, you know, I just hope that, and taking nothing away from Tommy Herr and John Tudor, but when we look at candidates, we compare them. You know, you only get two votes, so you got to look at the guys and say, okay, how do they stack up? And I just think Keith Hernandez, you know, it's time to get past the problems of the past. I'll tell you that if anybody is upset about or had reason to be upset about what Keith Hernandez is, it was Whitey Herzog, right? He's a manager of the team. He's a general manager. He had to trade him away. And the two of them buried the hatchet. Whitey was very clear saying publicly, I believe Keith Hernandez should be in the Hall of Fame. So whatever grudges we might have as fans about Keith Hernandez, if Whitey Herzog has buried the hatchet, we need to do that too.
You actually had a poll up on your website, thecardinalnation.com, and give us a little insight into how many people voted and the direction as to why they voted one way or another with Keith.
Well, I was really curious. You know, I was really curious why Hernandez got turned down. So I put up a poll, you know, after the results were announced, and it ran for a day, and there was like, I think, 910 people voted. So that's a pretty good sample size. And I just asked a very basic question. I said, hey, what's the single biggest factor why you didn't vote Keith Hernandez into the Cardinals Hall of Fame? Was it the drug use and the trade, or was it the fact that he was, the you know, a key part of the pond scum Mets? And the vote was 46% on the drug and trade and 54% on the fact that he was with the Mets. The first part I get. I mean, he's guilty as charged. He used drugs. He was, you know, indicted in the Pittsburgh drug trial. He admitted it. He took his penalties. and he got traded. And that was a bad episode, and the Cardinals lost a great player. But, you know, it happened 35 years ago. And like I said, Whitey's ready to hatch it. It's time to do that. On the Mets Ponscum thing, yeah, he was a great player for the Cardinals, and he continued to be a great player for the Mets. And while it was his fault he got traded, it wasn't his fault he got traded to the Mets when they started to have, when their farm system started to produce good players. And, you know, it was tough for the Cardinals to get their, you know, fans to see the Cardinals get their nose rubbed in Keith Hernandez for seven more years while he helped the Mets win. But the reality is, this guy, his job was to win baseball games. And yeah, some of those games were against the Cardinals, but it was his fault he got traded. It wasn't his fault he got traded to the Mets. And I think we need to separate what Keith Hernandez did as a Cardinal versus what he did as a Met. If you look around baseball, there are a lot of guys who played for multiple teams who have been recognized. Nolan Ryan is in three Halls of Fame, three different Halls of Fame, Angels, Astros, Rangers. There's dozens of guys who've been on, you know, recognized by two teams. So I think it's okay that we can hate the Ponscum, you know, dislike the Mets, dislike everything that Hernandez did, but still recognize him for his time as a Cardinal.
Finally, what are you working on in thecardinalnation.com right now?
Well, today's article, we've got an interview with Brian Jordan, former Cardinal, and we're going to start up a series on where they are now, but not some of the major leaguers as much as maybe some of the minor league prospects who, you know, were good for a while but never quite reached their potential. We're going through a series on how Cardinals have done in the drafts over the years. The most recent article that came up is on the Cardinals' second round picks, and in recent years, they haven't been very good. Cardinals spend, you know, an average $2 million a year on second-round picks, and that's where they typically tend to take the chances. And so, you know, maybe a guy like Trajan Fletcher, who they took this last year, is going to, you know, develop. The few guys that have been second-rounders, they've traded away, guys like Carson Kelly. But, you know, they did that to improve the team in other areas. So, you know, we're continuing to do that as well as our minor league history. And, again, new Cardinal content every day at the Cardinal Nation, so stop on by.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. We'll catch you up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like to thank everyone during this difficult time. That includes those that are working in the stores. As you can imagine, during this time, Schnucks employees are putting in long hours around the clock to best serve our community. So the next time you're in Schnucks, tell them thanks and that you appreciate them. Let them know how much we appreciate their efforts, because we will all get through this together.